Got a little bone to pick with the programming department. Would it kill you every once in a while to play a little fog hat?
Told Sean the story, he's one for two.
Pressure's on.
That's right, babies.
Dead Mouse at 2:30.
Yep.
And your work is complete for the way.
Really? So I don't have to do the Candy Mike and Todd show? Yeah.
Your work with me would be complete for the way.
Great.
So, I settled one media beef at 12:30.
I know. I learned a lesson. I am never going to point out a tweet.
I'd already seen it.
Oh, okay.
When you said it. I was joking about that.
Oh, okay.
Now I got to settle one more media beef, though.
Well, why?
Because.
It's Friday.
Because
it's Friday. Look, Dory.
If people slight me, I got to talk to. Because yesterday afternoon, now get off the air, because we announced that we're doing this live show.
Yes.
Coming up April 12th. 8 p.m. Kirkland Performance Center. I would love it if you would be there. It's a one-man show, but everyone else is going to be involved, which I know sounds incorrect, but we're figuring it all out. But it's going to be April 12th, Friday night, Kirkland Performance Center, 8 p.m. And
a very personal look at
very personal.
Dory Monson.
Yes. In fact, can you bump up the little promo that I watched the video. It was very sweet. Did Michael put that together?
I think him and Matt.
It was very sweet. Yes. The little promotional video that they made.
Yes.
So anyway, I get off the air yesterday, and again, it's on Twitter. And I'm beefing with some media person.
Yes.
So Brandi Cruz at Q13, she's whining that I'm having a live show and she hadn't been invited.
Well, tickets are very exclusive. There's not many.
Yeah.
But of course she's invited. She just needs to get a ticket.
Yeah, that's what I told her. I said, mynorthwest.com/events. And you can get a ticket just like anybody else. But then I called her. And of course I invited Brandi.
Well, I hope so, because she actually makes an appearance she doesn't know about.
She actually, I know, I told her. She has a prominent role in my show, in my presentation, my life story.
Nice.
She's going to be prominently featured. So anyway, so she's whining on Twitter about me. I take the magnanimous step of calling her and personally inviting her to the live show. And then I wake up this morning and I see this tweet from her. Here is my assessment of possible candidates for Washington governor in 2020, Democrats and Republicans. And so here's her list. Jay Inslee, of course, if he runs for a third term. Bob Ferguson, the most dastardly politician I've covered in my 24 years on the air. Dow Constantine, a woman I've never heard of.
Who's that?
Hillary Frantz?
Oh, yeah, lands commissioner.
Oh, she's the commissioner of public lands. Okay. Bill Bryant, who ran last time, and then she added Senator Doug Erickson. Where am I?
You've said repeatedly.
But it's her assessment
you too well.
Of possible candidates.
She knows you're not going to do
you're
it.
You're not possible.
So, yeah, no.
Now, if it was a list of who she'd like to see there, that could you could land on that one.
Oh, yeah. She'll be doing the divide in overtime if I get elected governor. No, but couldn't she at least, after I personally reach out, couldn't she at least have included me on that list there of possibilities?
Well, because Brandi is a serious journalist, and she already knows that you have absolutely, you have said you would never, ever, ever run for public office.
Everything you just said is true. But I will tell you right now, I have a better chance of being governor in 2020 than Jay Inslee has of being president of the United States.
And
so if we're going
to
cover this
something,
if we're going to cover this Inslee thing like it's a serious presidential run, then should be included in, even though I would never run in a million years because it sounds like the most boring job ever, and I already have the most fun job ever. But I should be included on Brandy's list of possibilities.
Okay, I do have to point out, we just had a soundbite with one of Inslee's supporters.
Mm-hmm.
one of Inslee's supporters. And he was saying, well, you know, what? It's just like Jimmy Carter. Is there any comparison to
the
Jimmy Carter?
The only comparison is Jay Inslee would be better off as a peanut farmer than governor of Washington. That's the only comparison I can possibly make to Jimmy Carter.
That was a good one.
I do what I can on the fly here. So, all I'm saying is, even though I would never in a million years run, if people want to get on my good side, they should include me on the list at least.
Okay.
Because I have a better chance of that than Inslee does of being president.
Beef with Brandy.
But I just I didn't go the Israeli route with Brandy because I like her too much. Then I got one other thing before I get to all the big lead stuff here. Although it's kind of big lead-ish. Jay Inslee, did you see what he's doing on Tuesday?
Well, he's going to Iowa.
He's going to go campaign in Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
What would happen if I went to our bosses here at Bonneville and I said, hey, I want to go to Los Angeles and see if KFI will hire me as a talk show host. Would you pay me while I go down to L.A. for a couple of days and meet with their management and see if they can give me a better job than, I mean, although this is the best job.
Mm-hmm.
But hypothetically, if I went to our management and said, will you pay me my full salary, or would I have to take a vacation day? Would I have to call in a phony sick leave day? Or would they say, no, go to L.A., meet with KFI, see if you can get a better job. We'll pay you your full salary. You won't have to take a personal day. You won't have to take a sick day. Why do we have to pay Jay Inslee to go to Iowa to campaign for president? Shouldn't we get our money back? A prorated? What does he make?
Well, I'm assuming he's salary, so maybe he's earned some days.
Oh, I guarantee you he doesn't work 40 hours a week. I've seen his, have you seen his schedule when they were posting it a few months ago? He has a pretty lazy schedule.
Now, is this something that you just think for Jay Inslee or any politician? Should any politician who, you know, be able to run for higher office?
Look, I think that politician,
it has to be for everybody.
I just care about our state. I'm a local guy. I think that, what does Inslee make, about 200 grand? As governor?
I believe so.
Okay, 200 grand. Let's just do a little quick math here. That's about, 800 bucks a day? 700 bucks a day?
171.
Okay. Yeah. So that's about, no, really? 500 bucks a day?
That's what he makes.
Still a lot.
171,000. Almost 172.
Okay, I think Jay Inslee should write us a check for 500 bucks and give us our Tuesday. And for every day that he's out campaigning. Because I'm telling you, I couldn't do that. I bet you couldn't do it at your job. Go to your bosses and say, I want to see if I can find a better job that'll pay me more and give me more prestige. Will you pay me while I'm out job hunting? I don't think that would work for anybody listening. I don't think it would work for me. But our politicians get to do
it. And I get that you want that for Jay because this is our state. But what about every other candidate? They all have other jobs.
Ursula, I said the same. Remember when George W. Bush came to our state? And I think Steve Largent and somebody else presented him in Jersey. I said the same thing about him when he came. I said the same thing about Obama. I'm going to feel the same way about Trump in 2020. I've been really consistent about that.
So how would he run? How would President Trump run again in 2020?
You can't.
Without doing that? Exactly.
You can't. And that's why the system's so corrupt. I mean, look, that's why Congress is so corrupt. If you're elected to a two-year congressional term, first of all, you spend months. All you do is fundraising, which is, again, why everything is so corrupt, because you know you're beholden to whoever gives you money. And then if you are elected to Congress, the day after election night, you are on the phone raising money for 2 years from now. And that's just the evil cycle, which is why I would get rid of our tax code. I would get rid of the IRS. I'd go to the fair tax. I would get rid of lobbyists. I would say that, you know, everybody will pay the same percentage through the fair tax, a national sales tax. We will stop manipulating our government through the tax code. We will stop that lobbyists are buying off politicians and just get rid of the corruption in government. That's never going to happen. So all I have any say over now is what happens in our part of the world. And I think Jay Inslee should give us, and more specifically, me, 500. Because seriously, I'm going to be... Look, I'm not kidding.
Or he goes on hiatus and has the lieutenant governor step up.
Who's de facto going to be running the state when he's gone on Tuesday? It's going to be me. I'm going to have a powerful voice. I'm going to be talking to a lot of people. I'll be influencing policy. Jay Inslee owes me $500. That's the bottom line here. Let's get to the big lead.
The big lead, top story.
With that as mere prelude... So in case you missed it, Jay Inslee, he started his speech in a rousing manner this morning. Oh, yeah, they were all enthusiastic, that crowd there.
Good morning.
It sounds like a kindergarten class.
Good morning, Jay.
It really is a good morning. We have the sun raining down on us.
The sun is raining down on us. Okay, so then he made the big announcement.
And now it is time for our nation to set a new priority. So I am announcing today that I'm a candidate to become the next president of the United States.
If I'm semi-serious about this. If it was Inslee versus Trump, Trump might carry all 50 states. Trump might carry Washington if it was him versus Inslee. After the debates, I wish we could just go today, forget about all the primaries, forget about all the other Democratic candidates, the Kamala Harris and the Cory Bookers and the Beto O'Rourke. Just go straight to Trump versus Inslee. Let's do that one. I mean, Inslee carried nine counties out of, 26, 36 in Washington State, the last governor's run. So that was impressive that he got nine counties here. So let's see. One of the things he's doing is he's going after the president. It's all about climate change and going after the president.
I am running for president because, unlike the man in the White House, I believe in all the people who make up America.
I think that it's very, very offensive that he called Trump a man in the White House. I think that we should all strive for gender neutrality. And I think that calling anybody a man or a woman. Come on, Jay. This is 2019. Why don't you go back in that cave that you crawled out of, you Neanderthal? We don't have men and women in America. We're all on a spectrum. Oh, and then he had lots of things to say about Trump.
We believe fundamentally in justice and inclusion in our state. It is a Washington, and I believe, American value. So I'm proud to have been the first governor to have stood up to Donald Trump's Muslim ban.
There absolutely was no Muslim ban. There was a... enhanced background checks is what Trump wanted from the countries that Barack Obama identified as the most terror exporting countries on the planet. And so Trump took the Obama list of the biggest terror supporting nations, and it turns out many of them are Muslim, but not all of them. Indonesia, the largest Muslim population, that wasn't on the list. Saudi Arabia, I know. It's a weird relationship that we have with Saudi Arabia. They weren't on the list. It wasn't a Muslim ban. It was a ban. No, it wasn't even a ban. It was enhanced background checks of people coming from terror nations. And if many of them happen to be Muslim, go talk to your buddy Barack Obama about that, because he's the one who first identified the list. See, I've got some things. What's he accomplished in Washington? I played you a partial list earlier. Here's audio I have not played yet.
In Washington State, we've passed the best paid family medical leave law in the United States. Now, let's secure this same right for every family in this country. We've raised the minimum wage. We've invested in transportation infrastructure when they can't build a birdhouse in Washington, D.C.
We've invested $100 billion in Sound Transit, the biggest criminal conspiracy of any public agency in the history of the United States. It's just, I mean, listening to all of this, it's, what was the first thing he cited there?
In Washington State, we've passed the best paid.
Oh, paid family leave. Yeah. Yeah, that's been wondrous. You know, you bring that to all of our nation's business owners, where you make government the most intrusive. You want to know why the investors are still optimistic in America? Because we have freed up business from incredible government meddling and regulation. So you want to bring back the most meddlesome type of government to all the businesses in America. Raise the minimum wage in Washington? Yeah, did you see the University of Washington study, Mr. Governor, that said the take-home pay of minimum wage workers went down when $15 an hour went in? Because the hourly went up and the pay went down? Now, maybe you want to dismiss the University of Washington, but didn't you go there? That's the University of Washington study. Take-home pay went down for minimum wage workers. Now, I know that nobody else in the media is going to call you out because they want you to have your day in the sun. But this is just ridiculous. This isn't going to work at the national level, and people don't care about climate change to this extent. And I hate to tell you, Jay Inslee is not going to be president of the United States. That is your big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
The tension, the drama continues to build. In about 7 minutes, we'll find out if Sean Dettori is going to remember his final musical cue of the week.
Britney Spears, Womanizer, right?
Coming up next on the Dory Monson Show. Must be Friday! Not only that, but I've been told that our number two awesome audio that Nicole authorized, I haven't heard it, came from you, Sean.
Yes, I thought this audio was pretty awesome. Figured I'd share it with the show.
But it's literally the second best audio of the entire week?
I authorized that.
Wow.
Wow.
I am awesome.
Okay. well, let's get right to it, then. I want to hear all of this.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the week.
Did you hear the story we had yesterday about the art sensation in New York City? This gal, she's taken over an entire art gallery. And you know, I sometimes make fun of the art world.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I think maybe this bolsters me making fun of the art world.
Number three.
She loves the camera almost as much as it loves her. Obviously enjoys chocolate. Not so sure about the hard-boiled eggs, though. And adores playing with Fred. A quick glance from pandas covering her little piggies to pigtails, and Lola June seems similar to any other two-year-old. But some might argue she's strokes ahead of most toddlers.
Okay, they're selling a two-year-old's art, and it's just paint splashes. They're selling it for anywhere from $400 to $23,000, and they talked to an art critic who It's either an art critic or it's Martin Short.
She's very talented. Or maybe I should not use the word talented. She's like beautiful spirit.
Pythemus Monet curated The Solo Show. Says when he laid eyes on Lola June's very first piece, this one right here, he was surprised.
If I will see the same artwork and I didn't know who's the artist, if I will see it at the MoMA or like any museum, I'll stop by and pay respect for that. So...
More than 30.
A bunch of pretentious, low IQ morons seem to occupy the realm of art.
And Martin Short.
At number two, I haven't even heard this one. This comes from Sean DeTore. So who is this, Sean? Who's Luca?
Yeah, Luca is this 11-year-old kid who lives on the East Coast. He's a food critic, and he's just adorable. And when I watched this video the other day, I felt it made me feel happy, and I don't really feel happy these days. So this was a real treat.
Aww.
Okay, all right.
Sean.
Jeez, took a dark turn. Here's 11-year-old food critic Luca.
Number two.
Guys, look, two times here.
Oh.
And we're back on another food.
Oh my goodness.
And today, we got the Luca two times special.
That burrata balances the flavor out, makes it way better. Sabina, I'm serious. There's not enough sauce. It needs more dough. And the cheese, standard.
And here he is talking Sunday dinner.
Sunday dinner for the Italians is always a magical moment, you know. Get to spend time with your whole family just eating food.
His love for food definitely came from his family.
Got me a piece of pushkabal.
Jeez.
Why is this kid not on Food Network?
I love how
Network?
He says that. That pushkabal.
Pushkabal, yeah.
I think people are so intrigued by Luca two times because I'm a kid, I'm adorable. And I'm one of a kind, you know.
So, Luca, when kids make fun of your weight,
yep.
Does it hurt your feelings? Do you care?
Nope, I really don't care. You want to know why?
Why?
Just human beings. Not everybody's perfect.
There you go. The 11-year-old food critic, Luca. And at number one, what happens when you put a mic on your 4-year-old kid at his hockey game?
Number one.
Should I have in my pocket? Why? Does Zamboni come on?
What's that, Mason?
Is the Zamboni coming on?
Yeah, the Zamboni will come on.
Why?
We'll play a little practice.
Oh, yeah, I am. What are you, garbage? But I need some help. I'm doing it.
It's not easy being a 4-year-old hockey player. We got like Luca better than this kid.
Oh no, look at, listen to that. The end of it.
I stayed more than a minute and we got it and get a baby.
Wants
baby Happy Meal.
Can't understand a word the kid says.
He wants McDonald's, a Happy Meal.
It's home time.
What was your favorite part of practice?
I like to go skating. Bubbles. See you later, everyone. Dad, I love you so much.
Oh, okay. All right, he's cute, too. Today's sign is next. And down the stretch we come. What a week, what a show, what a show, what a week. We brought you a lot of exclusives once again this week. We told you the story about how the mentally disabled workers at a company that has done a wonderful job for decades hiring mentally disabled people to mow lawns, but they may be priced out of a job because the state legislature is going to mandate that they get $60 an hour prevailing wage to mow lawns on municipal properties. So we're trying to rally people to fight back against that because it would put a lot of people who wouldn't be able to find work otherwise out of jobs. We told you about the effort in Olympia to make illegals a protected class. Like right now, you're protected because of gender and age and sex and all of that, sexual orientation. But they want to make illegals a protected class. So if you have a landlord, and one person's a U.S. citizen, another person's an illegal, and the landlord says, well, I only want to rent to American citizens. The landlord can be sued if our extreme leftist legislature gets its way. So we got to stay vigilant about all of this stuff. So those are just a few of the things that you learned by listening to the big show this week. And you're about to learn some more with today's edition of
Today's Sign That the End Is Near.
Today's sign the world is soon coming to an end. Do you ever go to the dog parks? Buddy loves going to the dog park. This woman took her dog to a park, but she was upset because there was a guy who had his dog there, and the guy's dog was feeling frisky. So what do you do if somebody else's dog is, you know, touching your dog? Well, this woman called the cops.
Right now, because I told you I wasn't leaving the park because my dog was humping your dog. I'm not verbally assaulting you. I told you I'm not leaving.
The Attleboro dog park.
That's inappropriate for the dog park.
No, it's not.
I know.
Dogs humping each other, and she's calling the cops because my dog humped her dog. I've seen every single dog hump another dog here. And she tells me to leave, and now she's calling the cop. Like, are you serious?
Yeah, they will.
Yo, I can't wait. Yo, this is crazy. Cause this, you heard of barbecue, Becky? Because this is the newest one. Right here. Let's see. So everybody know who this woman is. We can look this woman up.
I love this guy. This guy is just awesome. She's on the phone with 911 right now.
Honestly. I'm just trying.
You're not trying to help me.
No, you're not trying to help me.
I know the rules.
You're not obeying the dogs.
I'm obeying the rules. What are you talking about? I'm right here.
You can't allow your dog aggressively on top of another
dog. The dogs hump each other every day, and I took him off. I know it's my.
It's just awesome. She calls the police, so they're calling her Dog Park Debbie now because of her phone call to 911. Today's sign story number two, a woman smuggled some meth to a friend of hers who was in prison. Well, it was apparently in some balloons, and the guy in prison, Adrian Sepulveda, he was 46 years old. He was serving a life sentence with the possibility of parole for second-degree murder. But his friend smuggled him some meth in balloons. Apparently, the balloons burst, and the guy died in prison. So they checked out to see how in the world could he have gotten meth balloons, and they found out that his friend had visited him just the day before. So she now has been sentenced for 2 years of incarceration for giving her friend a deadly amount of meth. Oh, by the way, the woman's name? Jonna Martinez Meth. That's a hyphenated last name. Martinez Meth. M-E-T-H. So you see, she smuggled meth, and her name is meth. Hilarious! That could only happen in Trump's America. Okay, finally, in today's sign. So I've talked a lot about how bogus so much of the art world is. Sound Transit scamming us out of $100 million for art. So a bunch of con artists, public artists. Okay, that's redundant. A bunch of con public artists can get us for over $100 million for Sound Transit art. I told you yesterday about the 2-year-old girl who has an exclusive art exhibit at a New York City gallery. And all these nuts are talking about her like she's some prodigy at age 2. Well, I have one more for you. A 26-year-old woman in California, her Instagram account is going viral because it shows her smearing, it's blood that women monthly, you know what I'm trying to say. She smeared that all over her face because she said it's magical and powerful. I hate to even ask this. Do we have any music for this story? Oh, yeah. So anyway, this 26-year-old woman, she just goes by the name Demetra Nix. She says she's a sex coach. She lives in Los Angeles. And she said that she used to be embarrassed and ashamed of what started happening to her monthly at age 12. She told a newspaper, "I was simultaneously embarrassed and fascinated by it. I felt apologetic about it, and I tried to hide it from my boyfriends." Now, we know what's going on. We're dumb, us guys, on the ways of women, but we're not that dumb. So anyway, she decided that she wanted to break loose and turn it into an art form. So she uses it to paint her face in a, red mask. She says that it makes her feel magical. She said sharing the pictures of her face covered with that started as an impulse. She said she thought it would be fun and would just help women get past the whole shame and embarrassment. As one person on Twitter said when she posted this tweet, "I just want to throw away my phone right now," crying out loud.
Right, you're bloody well right. You got a bloody right to say. Right, you're bloody well right. You know you got a right to say.
Jeez. What a way to end the show for the week. Oh my goodness. What? Is this really the lasting impression I want to leave of the radio show? Going into the weekend? But look, I'm out of time. I don't have time to do something else to straighten this out and make it all right. So I'll have to go with this. All that is today's sign, the end is near. Write your problems down in the DJ. Whew, I gotta get out of here. I've simply said everything that I have to say for this week. But don't you worry, I'm going to go home and think up a bunch of new stuff for Monday's show. It's going to be great. Am I right?
Right, right, right. You're bloody well right. You got a bloody right to say.
Thought so.
Right.
You're bloody Candy well Mike and Todd are coming up next. Right. What a disaster. Have a great weekend, and I will see you back here Monday. High noon. Head up.
Get another job?
I don't think I'd like another job.
What are you gonna do about money and bills and...
I've never really liked paying bills. I don't think I'm gonna do that either.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.